have inherited all rights and privileges of the kingdom of God. You've inherited. See what that song was tonight? All because of what Jesus done. You've inherited. It's got nothing to do with you. You inherited it. You inherited the promises. You inherited his glory. You inherited his wisdom, his understanding, his anointing, his power, his wisdom. It's all there. It's all laid up for you as a treasure in Christ Jesus. It's an inheritance that we have to tap into. So all inherited all rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. We have been given his name to use. And we sung again that song, the name that's above all names. You inherited a name that's above all names, that you can stand in the face of adversity and speak that name. All of hell trembles at the name that's above all names. And it's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hell trembles at that name. Because that's the name that defeated the enemy at Calvary. We've been given his name to use. We are no longer slaves, but sons of God. We're no longer slaves. We are the sons of the living God. And as we heard on Friday night, what is the world waiting on? The manifestations, because we are sons of God right now. The minute you get born again, you are a son of God, born again. The DNA of God is within you, a new creation in Christ Jesus. But the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God wants to manifest his glory within you, because he is God, but it's about God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Now his spirit dwells in us, and we can be channels for his gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talked about last week. See, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. He wants to flow through us. The words of wisdom, the words of knowledge, the sending of spirits, those power gifts, the manifestations of healings, hey, they are there. They are an inheritance that's been laid up for the body of Christ. But we have to take these things by faith. We have to press in. We have to press in and penetrate God and take these things by faith. And thank God that they belong to us. This is our inheritance, the gifts and the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. To flow through us. Flow through who? The new creation. Not the carnal mind, not the flesh. Through the new creation, through your spirit. God flows through your spirit. That's why we start to sing these songs. Why? Because we sing these songs. We step out of that fleshly realm and we step into that spiritual realm, into that Holy Ghost realm, where we can hear and move by the things of God. So now the Spirit dwells in us. We can be channels for the gifts of the Holy Spirit through the Spirit of God. Instead of being under Satan's control, we are now his masters. Masters. Why? Because we have the dominion. We have the authority. We're the ones that's been delivered from the powers of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're the one that's got the name. He's a defeated foe. See, he cons people. The only thing that the enemy has, people, is deception and lies. Deception and lies. You'll never make it. You're not strong enough. What? Hold on a minute here. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God's grace is sufficient for me. I have a name that's above all names. You've got to speak like that. You've got to think like that. You've got to put on the mind of Christ. You've got to speak like your father's taught you to speak. You've got to take his word and speak like he taught you to speak. And you will step into the anointing, and then the enemy will flee as in terror. It says in Peter. When you yield yourself to God, it says in Peter, when you yield yourself to God, when you submit unto God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee as in terror. Because then when you step into God and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, which is the word, when you submit your mouth and your heart and your mind to the word of God, God then enters into the scene. The enemy will be nowhere to be seen when God comes on the scene. But you step into that by faith. So instead of being under Satan's control, we are now masters. Because of Jesus, we have been raised to a place of heavenly dignity. Heavenly dignity. You've been raised into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your position is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your position. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated at the right hand side of the Father in Christ. And like I told you 133 times in the New Testament, in him, through him, and by him. Look at all those little scriptures from Ephesians, Acts, and all the way through him, and by him. And those things you'll see in him. It's always in him. It's always through him. It's always by him. It's in him. It's through him. And it's by him that he empowers you. So we are now possessors of the life of God. Right now, you are possessors of the life of God. Not going to be. You are right now. Possessors of the life of God. As new creations in Christ Jesus, we have inherited the life of God in our spirit. It is the same quality of life that Jesus had. Oh, wow. Religious people hate that type of talk. How can you say that? I can say it because God said it. I can say it because my father said it. I can say it because my father provided this through his son and through his blood. I have the same life flowing through me as Jesus has flown through him. Why? Because I'm born again of his DNA. I have his spirit within me. I'm a new creation. I'm one with him. Like he says, as me and my father are one, he says, I pray that you be one with us. Why are we one? Because I am born, I have his DNA. I'm a son of the living God. You're a daughter and a son of the living God. So we have to accept these facts. Jesus was so full of life and came to the earth to give humanity that life. Why? So that we could give other people that life. He came to this earth to give us life, but once we got this life, it's about us giving and operating out of this life so that people can see that we're living in a different way. And they can taste and see of the goodness of God in your life because they see something different about your life because you're operating out of his life, out of that God kind of life. Jesus was so full of life and came to earth to give humanity that life. John 5 and 26 says this. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. 1 John 1 and 4 says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was the light of men, right? 1 John 4. The word light stands for development spiritually and soulishly. Light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the word light stands for development. So in him, when you live and you move in him, right, you will develop spiritually. When you acknowledge the life of God, that you have been born of his DNA, in him is life. In him is life, it's development, it's wisdom, it's understanding. In fact, I was reading in Psalms on the way over here tonight, it says, the entrance of thy word brings light. See, the entrance of his word brings light, brings development. The word of God being spoken out of your own mouth will develop your spirit man. The word will develop you. The word light means develop. Right? Spiritual development. As you're speaking the word of God and the entrance of thy word, and Psalm says, the entrance of that word, it says it's light. It will develop you. It will develop you so that you become brighter and brighter until the day dawns and Jesus rises with healing in his wings. Psalms 119. Read that in your own time. So the word light stands for development spiritually and soulishly. Four definitions of the word life from the Greek. Bias is one of them. This word in scripture is referred to in three respects. A, of the period of duration of life. So 1 Peter 4 and 3. So Peter's talking about, you know, the length of life and about the duration of life. So one of the words is talking about the time that people are living in and where they are in their life at this point in time. So there's different words for different meanings when you actually read in the word life. So the second one is this, of manner of life in regard to moral conduct, 1 Timothy 2 and 2. And when you read that, Paul's talking to Timothy about praying for kings and people in authority, right? So he's talking about a manner of life, how you act. Are we complaining about governments? Are we speaking against governments? Whatever. He's saying, come on, hey, if government, pray for them. And pray by the Spirit of God and pray for the government. He's talking about a conduct. He's talking about a conduct of life in Timothy 2 and 2. He says, it's a conduct. How are you walking in life? Are you prayerfully minded? Are you worshipfully minded? Are you God consciously minded? Are you conscious of negativity and what's going on in the world and the government's not doing this and things are happening? Are you conscious of those things? Are you conscious of God? Are you living your life out of those things? Conscious of God. How are we living our life out of the new creation? How is the standard of life? Where is the standard within our life? Are we always complaining and moaning at things? Or do we look at things and get God on the scene and start speaking unto things that be not as though they were? We bring God on the scene. It's a standard of life. How do we look at it? What are we responding to? How are we responding? 1 Timothy 2 and 2. A means of life, livelihood, maintenance, living. Mark 11, 22. Jesus is talking about the woman that's in the temple. Remember when she's standing there and she gives the two little mites. And then he turns around and it's funny, isn't it? I mean, People sometimes in churches are scared to talk about money, but here's Jesus watching what's been put into the offering. He's standing there watching what's going on, right? What's going on to the offering, right? We talk about, I mean, pastors sometimes are scared to talk about money because, oh, he's talking money again. Listen, Jesus is standing there looking at the offering and what's going into the offering, right? And then he starts making comments about her life, right? And her life, he says, this woman has put more in than all of yous together. Right? You've put in of your abundance. She's put in of the very lack that she had, but she was rich in what she's done. What he was actually saying, hey, God gave me an understanding. See, when you put your tithes and your offering into your church, you're not putting money in as such. You're putting your life in there. You work 40 hours a week, right? You give your life to earn that money. Right? And when you come and you give your tithe and you worship God with that tithe and you worship God with that money, you're worshiping God with your life that you've laid down to earn that money. It's not just money, people. You're worshiping God with your life. That's what he was trying to get across. She's put more than all of yous. This is her whole living. It's a whole different sermon, but anyway. So the means of life, livelihood, maintenance, living. Right, so she lived in a different realm. She was totally caught up with God and just, she was his. She held nothing back. Maintenance, it's a means of life. That was a type of, she held nothing back from him. So psyche, let's look at this word. This word is used in scripture in two main areas. The breath of life or the natural life in Matthew 6 and 22. So you read in Matthew 6 and 22 and it talks about, you know, so we have got our spiritual life and then we have our natural life. You know, it talks about the birds of the air. You know, does your father not know that what you need and all of those things? The birds of the, you know, he feeds the birds of the air. He makes the lilies grow and the grass green, right? So it's talking about your natural life. So there's different words. Your natural life it's talking about in Matthew 6 and 25. The psyche, the solical life, right? The carnal life. The seat of personality, right? So the seat of personality is the soulish area. I look at 9 and 24. So the seat of personality, when we talk about over these classes, over these 8 weeks, you are a spirit created in the likeness and image of God, and you have a soul. Now your soul is so interconnected with your spirit, the only thing that can separate your soul from your spirit is the word of God. It discerns. If you're operating in the solical, see, in the solical realm, it's the reasoning realm. That's your solical, your reasoning things. Your reasoning, that's your reasoning, that's your solical realm. But within the solical realm, it is the seat of emotions, where you feel, where you sense, where emotions are. So it's talking about a different part of life here, about your solical life. One part is talking about your physical life and God meeting your needs in the physical arena. The other part of life, he's talking about the solical life, your emotional makeup, your reasoning realm. That's your solical life. Talks about in Luke 9. So let's move on. Speaking generally, the psyche is the individual life, the living being, things pertaining to the human life. So here's one of the words from, we're talking about the psyche, the solical man. This word is used in scripture to describe a disorderly, unruly, negative manner of life, insubordinate or irregular. The word describes a person who has a confused manner of behavior in Thessalonians 3, 6 and 7. Let's just look at that scripture. Let's have a quick look. So that's Thessalonians chapter 3:6-7. 2 Thessalonians, sorry. I said first. Okay. Chapter 3:6-7. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us as we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread nor naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have no power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. So Paul, when I read this in the Greek, that word disorderly, right? Because we're talking about the solical life, and this is where things go wrong within churches. When I read the word in the Greek, it says this, the word, it means don't get out of position, don't get out of rank. Don't get out of rank when God places you in certain positions. See, everybody has a position in the church. Everybody, God calls and God fits everybody together. Like, you know, pastor's always teaching about these things. Every time I hear him, he's always talking about, you know, the fivefold ministry and people fitting within the church. But Paul's trying to deal with some things and people and disorderly about don't get out of rank. Don't be disorderly. God isn't a God of order. God's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. He loves order. Because where there's order, the blessing of God flows. Where there's unity, the blessing of the Lord flows. The enemy loves disorder because there's confusion in every evil work when there's disorder. So we're talking about this word, and it says, the word describes a person who has confused manner of behavior. Thessalonians 3, 6, and 7, right? So that is the solical life. Our soul basically can be confused. It always wants to do its own thing. It wants badges. I mean, over the last few weeks, there's been certain things and there's been upheavals and there's been things and situations in people's lives. There's been disorder in people's lives. And it causes confusion. It causes confusion because they need to know where to stand. They need to know how to stand in the order of the kingdom of God. God has an order. Do you know that even Satan has an order in his kingdom? Read Ephesians chapter 6. Principalities and powers are done. There's a structure. There's an order. People think he's not disorderly. He understands order. He has a whole kingdom and it's in order and he does things through order. God has a kingdom and God's kingdom is in order. So we need to basically join together in a place of order and walk in an orderly way in the kingdom of God. So don't let our solical man put, oh no, don't think I fit here. No, I don't know if I like this. See, solical things, Lord. See, now the spiritual man goes, Lord, where do you want me? Lord, where do I fit in? Lord, how can I be a blessing? See, the new creation speaks like that. The new creation man speaks, Lord, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to the path? How can I be a blessing to the music? Lord, show me what to do. See, different lifestyle from the spirit man, but the solical man is usually about self. And when it's about self, there's usually disorder and there's usually confusion. But we don't want that kind of lifestyle. We want to step into the lifestyle of God where there's peace and there's love and there's joy out of the new creation reality. So let's have a look at this other word now. Zoe. Zoe. This is the word used in Scripture to denote life in absolute, the absolute sense of all men. It is the life as God has it. This is the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life. It is the God kind of life. It's the eternal kind of life. It's God's life. It's God's DNA, in other words. It's the life force of God. It's who he is, the Zoe kind of life. It refers to spiritual life, Christ life, eternal life, or the life that comes from God alone. This is the only life, the Zoe kind of life can only be given from God. There's no man, there's no human, there's nothing on this planet can give you this God kind of life because it comes from him alone. Because he is life. Jesus says, I am the life. I am the way. And I am the truth. And there's no man comes to the Father but by me. The life he's talking about, I am the life. Where life is, death can't reign. Where life is, death can't reign. When life comes on the scene, death has to go. I mean, Jesus had this ability to mess up funerals. I mean, he messed up funerals big time. I mean, guys are in coffins and they're walking through the streets and he walks in and life appears on the scene. And all of a sudden, the guy's up out of the coffin. I mean, you imagine how freaky that would have been. I mean, here there's, you know, you've got all the funerals, you've got all the mourners and the weepers and the groaners and they're all out walking the street and all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene, life comes on the scene. All of a sudden, this guy comes up. He messed up funerals. I believe in the last days, Jesus would want to mess up funerals. Come on. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is to heal the what? The lame, the sick, the blind, and raise the dead. That's the ministry of Jesus. And I believe the higher standards that God's talking about, if God can train us to live out of the new creation and out of the love of God and walk in the things of the Spirit and crucify our flesh and walk away from those solical ways of life, I believe that we can step in. God is trying to get the church into a place where that life force of God will mess up things in the natural in a good way. I mean, that would have been freaky. Whoops. I just see that in my head. I don't know why that's funny pitch in my head. I just see this little out the coffin. Hello, I'm back. I'm alive. Once I was dead, but now I'm alive. Yeah. Some people would say, get back in your coffin. We've had enough of you. So Jesus had the way of bringing life on the scene. But you see, why are we talking about this Zoe kind of life? Because, see, we can look at Jesus and these things, but we started off right from the beginning of this teaching right here tonight, and it talks about the life of God that's been given to us. That same life. The same life. Come on, people. We've got to meditate on this stuff. The same life that was in him is in us. It's in us. We've just not been penetrating. We've just not been pursuing God in the way that we really can to walk in this. I mean, because that's why we read books of people like Smith, Wigglesworth, and all these people. Why? Because they penetrated and they were walking in that life. Are they any more special than you? No. Is God any respecter of persons? No. The Bible tells you he's no respecter of persons. But it's about what we do. It's about how we will live our life, this what we're talking about, these three different portions of our life. How will we just live a carnal life? Will we just be happy just coming to church and thinking it's okay? That's it. Oh yeah, I was at church this Sunday. I've done my piece. Go home and then just, it's all cool. Or is it 24/7 waking up, lying in bed, going to sleep, thinking about him, dreaming about him? Just, I remember the most supernatural time that I had in my life was in Nigeria, 1987. You think, man, that's a long time ago. Yeah, I've had some good times since then, right? But I'm just telling you, one of the most powerful times, 3 weeks in Nigeria. So supernatural, unbelievable. Well, it was believable because it happened. I'm talking deaf ears open. But it wasn't just that. It was the presence and the holiness of God in 3 weeks. I mean, I was with two assistant pastors of the church that I was going to in from Scotland. We walked as one. Jesus says, me and my Father are one. We were so in tune with each other. I mean, I could think something, he would say it. I would see something, he would do it. We operated as one. Why? Because we were in God. We penetrated God so strongly in a 3 months period of time in the prayer. We had such prayer in a 3 months period of time before we went to Nigeria in 1987. And then you had the Africans who were fasting and praying. So it wasn't just about us. It was them who were hungry, knowing that we were coming to do these crusades. And these guys knew how to pray, and they were on their faces and praying and fasting before God. And we went and we walked into the glory of God. I mean, I would go to bed at night, and I would fall asleep. My body would fall asleep in my spirit. And I knew my spirit was communicating with God all night. He was talking to me. He was revealing things to me. My spirit was, because your spirit never sleeps. Because God never sleeps and never slumbers. He's an eternal being. Your spirit never sleeps or slumbers. Your spirit is an eternal being and never sleeps. Your flesh needs to sleep, but your spirit is awake. That's why it's important when you go to bed at night, what you listen to, what you see before you go to bed at night, what you've put your eyes on. All these things have an impact. It's why in your children's bedrooms should be scriptures and beautiful things that they see before they go to sleep at night. They shouldn't be seeing AC/DC and skulls and things in their heads, because that's what's been imprinted in their consciousness before they go to sleep. But we should be imprinted, you know, this thing should be imprinted in our life. But in Nigeria, it was so supernatural. 3 solid weeks walked in the glory of God. One night, there was 3 of us sitting there, and there was 3 women. 4 women came from the other side of the city, and God led them to where we were. And says, they came and says, God led us here because yous have something that we need. And it was all about worship. It was things about worship that we had, that we were teaching. And we had, that night, we had 5 solid hours of the glory of God at the table. I would think something, God would say it prophetically. The one guy that I was sitting next to for 5 hours, he never opened his mouth for 1 minute on his own. He spoke prophetically 5 solid hours. I would be asking questions. I would be asking God questions in my heart. He would start prophesying what I was thinking in my heart. 5 hours. We were in the glory of God. Jesus was sitting at that table. Did I see him physically? No, I didn't. But I knew he was at the table. There is such realms of glory that God wants the church to enter into. So it's just little bits of story, but it's there. It's there. If we'll penetrate, if we will pursue God with all our heart, he will show up in a greater way, in a greater manifestation, so as the world will know again that he is alive and he is well. New creation realities. The sons and the manifestations of the sons of God that was preached on Friday night. Not just doing church. Doing Jesus. So, it refers to spiritual life in Christ, eternal life, the life that comes from God alone. The Zoe life applies to our born-again nature. It should affect us, spirit, soul, and body. We are to experience God's life in us, through us, in us, and through us. We can now live in life as God has it. Now hold on to your seats when I read the scripture. And believe me, you will need to meditate and meditate and meditate on the scripture when I'm reading this. I mean, you need to take this home and you need to go over this and over this and over this. This goes against every religious spirit that could ever imagine what would come into your life and speak anything to you. This scripture, Colossians 2:9-10 of the Amplified says this, for in him, say in him. See in him, it's in him. Remember, it's in him. It's always in him. For in him, the whole fullness of deity, the whole fullness of deity, that means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, in him, giving complete expression of the divine nature, and you are, talking to you, the body of Christ, the new creation, not the flesh man, not the solical man, and he says, and you are in him, you are in him, made full, and have come to the fullness of life. In Christ you too are filled with the Godhead. Well, that blows our minds. Why? Because, listen, if it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, and he's in you, what's in you? But see, religious people won't allow you to say things like that. They'll go, oh, he said it. You're in him. You either are in him or you're not in him. So all of these things are in him. So that means that life force that we are talking about, that in him is life, is the fullness of life, the dominion, the authority, the wisdom, the righteousness. It's all in him. But you are in him. And he is in you. That's why Jesus says in John, if you abide in me, but he didn't stop there, and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Abiding, living, moving, having your being in him. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach all the fullness of spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. So that means if he is the rule of all principality and power, that means when you are walking and living in him, you have that dominion and authority over all of those things. There is no curse. There is no principality. There is no power that can stand against you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. The greater one dwells within you. The Christ. The life of God. The dominion of God. And that's why he can come to those places and bring life. He desires, if we get a hold of this stuff and we get filled with this stuff and we meditate upon this stuff and we start to act and think and move in this stuff, God will start to move like he wants to move. And we'll see some stuff. Come on, Smith Bigglesworth did it. Peter did it. Peter walked down the street And it says the shadow of Peter. It says demons would come out of people. People would get healed as he's walking down the street because of the very penetration of the life force of God. Because Peter talks about in Peter, and he says that you are partakers of the divine nature through the knowledge of God. So it's through the knowledge of God that you are you are partakers of the divine nature through the promises of God. So he wrote about it, so he must have understood it. And when he walks down the street, the very glory and the presence of God is affecting people's lives. Smith Wigglesworth is on trains, and people are falling on their faces, people, and crying unto the heavens, and he's not even speaking to them, and they're saying, God save me, God deliver me. Because God has come on the scene. I worked in social work for over 10 years, and I remember I was in a children's home, 13 to 18-year-olds, right? Crazy stuff in that place, crazy stuff, man. But God did some amazing stuff in that place. So God will do things wherever you are. And one night I started getting staff members saved. And on the night shift, people started to get saved. And I was bringing them to the Lord. So we were having prayer meetings in the children's home. I mean, 13, 18-year-olds, right? Say children, young people. We were having prayer meetings. This place nearly closed down because people were being assaulted left, right, and center. It was crazy for 2 years. People were being assaulted and all sorts of things. I mean, the devil was having a heyday with all the demonic forces within that children's home. Then all of a sudden, God comes on the scene. Not me. God comes on the scene. Through me. Starts preaching the gospel. Starts sharing Jesus, right? I'm trying to bring this stuff to you in a way that wherever you are, you can bring it. You can bring it. You've got to bring it. It's time to bring it. So I'm in this children's home, and I'm starting sharing the life force of Jesus and whatever. And this one guy, who hadn't even been to church yet, we'd having a prayer meeting, right? But in this little living room, we're praying over all these young people. They're on their beds, right? This is night, probably 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Night shift goes all the way through to 7 o'clock in the morning. So I'm on this night shift, praying in the Spirit. I'm telling you, he's sitting where Tracy is. I'm sitting on the couch here, and I start praying in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, I started praying the Word of God. And all of a sudden, my eyes was closed, and all of a sudden, I heard these screams. Well, not screams, but it was all these groans and like, like this, right? I opened my eyes, and he was sliding down the couch. And I realized what was happening. As I was speaking, when you get into that realm of the Spirit, when you get into the presence of God in such a way, in such a glory, and then you start to speak the word under the anointing, the power of God was so strong, it was affecting this Christian. The power of God was so heavy on him, it was affecting him, and he was sliding down the couch. Remember when Jesus walked into the garden, and the Roman soldiers came into the garden, and he says, I am. When he said, I am, what happened? They all fell flat on their face, people. They all fell. Boom. The power of God. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority. He wants his people to be such in a place with him and living out of the new creation that there's authority, that there's a dominion, that there's a power. That we won't be like the religious people, like he wasn't like the religious people. Romans 6 and 4 says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. The old man's buried with him, the old sinful nature. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I'm talking about that just now. Romans 8 and 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It set me free. You've been set free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death has no longer dominion over you, but you've got to be operating in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law is put into operation through your mouth. You believe and you speak according to the promises of God, and you put the law of God into operation, and it keeps it working in your life, and it keeps the law of sin and death away from you. It keeps the law of sin and death working against you. Depression, curses, all those things, it will keep it at bay. Why? Because you're operating out of a different law. You're operating out of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's why your prayer life and your praise life is so important. What comes out of your mouth, you're releasing the laws of God, and you're causing things to be stopped from working against you. Jesus has given us abundant life. Not only has Jesus given us eternal life, but he's also given us abundant life. The Greek word for abundant is parousio. It means to superabound in quantity and quality. Be in excess, to excel, to abound, to be better. What was the prophecy tonight? More excellence, to be better. enough to spare, to increase, to over and above superabundance. That's the life of God. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and give it more abundant, more expressive, more power, more wisdom, more authority. It's an abundant life. It's the fullness of life. It's eternal life. It's the Zoe kind of life. John 10:10, there's a scripture. The thief comes to only in order that he may steal, that he may kill, that he may destroy. But I have came that you may have life and enjoy it. I had to tell a young man today, 2 nights ago, I said, hey, he's so getting caught up in so many things. And even I'm talking, I said, enjoy it. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy Jesus. Enjoy the life that he's given you. Sometimes we can be so wound up and so, you know, anxious about different things. Enjoy the life of God. Enjoy his presence. Enjoy his love. Enjoy that he loves you. Enjoy that he's in love with you. Enjoy that he's for you and will never be against you. Enjoy that he'll never condemn you. Enjoy him. So, and have it abundance, the full and overflow. 89 times in the New Testament, this word life applies to the born again believer now in the present life. Philemon says this, and here's a key scripture, that the shedding of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. Say acknowledgement. See, the shedding of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. In you, in Christ. Your faith becomes effectual by you acknowledging who you are in Christ Jesus. So when you're acknowledging, because remember I always say in the class, it's not who you're trying to be, it's already who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are the redeemed of the Lord, a brand new person, a new species. You are acknowledging who you are in Christ Jesus, and that's what makes your faith effectual. That's what makes your faith effectual. When you acknowledge what he's done through that song tonight, acknowledge the goodness of God, the cross, the resurrection, and acknowledge that he's delivered you, that he's freed you from sin, from curses, and every ugly thing, you have been set free because you are a new creation. Your father is God. Your father is not the devil. Jesus says to some of the religious rulers, hey, you're of your father, the devil. And your father's works you'll do. But you are of your father from the kingdom of God. And your works you shall do. You shall walk in this newness of life. We will have abundant life and flowing inner life when we understand everything which is in us in Christ. Philemon in the Amplified says, I pray that the participation in the shedding of your faith may produce and promote full recognition, appreciation, and understanding, and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. It will always bring glory to him when you walk in this newness of life. Because you'll always tell people it's Jesus. Because without him, you can do nothing. We must build a solid foundation on our union with Christ by confessing, here's the key, by confessing and proclaiming the new creation truths. That's how you connect. That's how your faith becomes effectual, because when you start confessing these scriptures, and what I forgot to tell you tonight was this, that at the back of the hall tonight, my lovely wife, the great administrator, she has then taken a lot of time and she's printed a lot of stuff out on the fruit of the Spirit, scriptures on the fruit of the Spirit. So help yourself, one per couple, right? If you're single, just take one, but one per couple. There's a whole bunch of stuff up there on the fruit of the Spirit, and they're all forces that are from your recreated spirit. They'll bless you. So, regulate life conduct. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 Amplified says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly, deeply planted in him. Now, let me just say this. Let me just finish the scripture first. Fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly and more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. What a mouthful. In him. And it says, let the word of God dwell richly in you, rooted and grounded and established in the faith. Let the word of God be rooted and grounded in you. Be rooted and grounded in the word of God, because that's where your faith comes from. That's where faith comes from. It comes from the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, established in the faith. But the only way you'll be established in the faith is being rooted and grounded in the word. That's how you get rooted and grounded in him. Because remember, he is the word. In the beginning was the word. He is the word. Colossians 2:6 in English says this, in the English version, live your lives in union with him. Colossians 2:6 and living, and now just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your spirit arise. Speak, declare every situation. Bring him on the scene. Live in union with him. Bring God on the scene. Acknowledge who you are in Christ. Webster's dictionary says this. Webster's dictionary says, acknowledge means to admit as true, to recognize the authority and claims of, to respond to express thanks for, to state that one has received confession. That's what the dictionary says about it. Acknowledgement, confession. Acknowledging all those things that Christ has said about your life and who you are in him. Philemon 6 again says that the shedding of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. Here's the Webster dictionary telling you what it's saying about acknowledgement. And it says in Philemon 6, acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, again in him, in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption have been made available to us in Christ. And here's the last scripture, and we'll take a break. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have, past tense, received every kind of blessing because of our position where? In Christ. You are in him and he is in you. And when you start to acknowledge your position and where you are in Christ Jesus and what's in you and the authority, the wisdom, the dominion in you, and you acknowledge those things, you will start to awaken unto righteousness and walk in the wisdom of God, and dominion will start to flow from your mouth. And devils will start to cringe because of the anointing. Because believe me, people, the anointing is on the word of God, not on our opinions and not on our reasoning and realm. The anointing is on the word of God. And when you are speaking in line with the word, the enemy hates it, because that's the sword of the spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on now, come on now. Let's assemble. Let's be good students. Gee, it's hot in here, or is it just me? It's just me. I won't tell you my age or what I'm going through. That's R18. Yeah, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for part two. Holy Spirit, help me to get through it in the allotted time, because we all turn into pumpkins at midnight. So I thank you. Yeah, I know. There's no time in the spirit, so yeah, just relax. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the greatest teacher of all, so I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit, take over, and I thank you. We all have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us, and you open up the eyes of our understanding. And Father, we acknowledge the gift of the teacher, the office of the teacher, Father, and that as students we may receive that revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so while Danny, he tapped into that prophetic anointing, so obviously you guys are like greedy. We come over here with a teaching gift, and then you tap into something else, and we have to bring it. Okay, so while he was tapping into that, I was seeing things, right? So I'm just going to share a few prophetic things that I heard and saw. So first of all, I heard the Lord say that those that are in the room that sow in tears, you shall reap in joy. Amen. And that's not like, you know, don't go tomorrow and start going around crying on everyone's shoulder. We don't mean that kind of like, you know, Suki Baba stuff, all right? I hope no one's offended, but I just have to bring it the way it is. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen. So what you do in the secret place, and you're sowing in tears. Amen. And no one sees it. You shall reap in joy. Okay, and the kingdom of God is really different to the system of schooling. Normally we go to school and normally we get the lesson from the teacher and then we get the test. But watch out for the kingdom of God. It sneaks up on you, all right? Oftentimes we have the test first and then we get the lesson afterwards and it's quite sore. Okay, so that's okay. It's normal. You know that God's different from the world. Amen? Very different. So it's okay. It's normal. All right? Very normal. Now, there's no growth without some pain. And I just heard, like a woman with stretch marks. Amen? For the joy that's set before her, she carries this child in her womb for almost 10 months. And, you know, for some women, it's like not easy. Imagine you're carrying a child. Lovely, yay, I'm pregnant. I want that baby today. Next minute, you're vomiting in the morning. What's all that about? That's not very nice, is it? Okay, so growth sometimes is just not very nice, okay? It's not easy. It's not nice. And sometimes the woman, she gets stretch marks. The Apostle Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Growth is not nice. It doesn't come without some growing pains, without some stretch marks. You're going to take a few hits, all right? You're going to fall over. You're going to get a few bruises. But just pick yourself up and carry on. And remember, like I say, you're never alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. Right, where is he? He's inside of you. Hello? Mm-hmm. Just check in. It's like a radar, you know, just tune in and get onto that tuned in signal. Holy Spirit's with you all the time. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the greatest comforter of them all. Amen. He always, you know, if I fall over, I've got nothing to confess this week. I've been an angel, right? That's not true. If I fall over, the Holy Spirit gently helps me and he picks me up. Amen. Okay, and I love it. And the last thing I saw was when, Peter in his exuberance to serve the Lord Jesus, I will take on the enemy. And he cut off the soldier's ear at the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, now there's going to be times when you just get it wrong. All right, you get it wrong. But like Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, I love it. Jesus is my backup. Jesus was right there. Oh, I got to fix that mistake. And he put that ear straight back on, all right? So it's okay if you make a mistake. It's not a problem, all right? You don't have to clean everything up yourself, all right? We got Jesus. Bang, he can come in there and he can just fix a mistake faster than what we could, all right? So just do the walk with Jesus. And whatever you do, just chill out. Enjoy it, you know? Learn to laugh with yourself, please. Okay, if you laugh at yourself, it's all right. When others laugh at you, you won't get offended. All right? Laugh at yourself. Take a chill pill, all right? That's what I do. That's why I'm laughing all the time. I need to laugh, all right? Okay, so those are little tips. Now, where are we? Okay, we're on to the manual now. For we are... That's why I doubted. I thought, I can't teach off the manual. I don't like to be restricted. I like to roll. But anyway, we'll go back to the manual. We've got 5 minutes, right? We are raised to a heavenly dignity in Christ. Okay, now I love that word dignity. It means worthiness. And I can equate that to the royalty, the Queen of England. Okay? We are raised to a heavenly dignity in Christ. We are royalty. Just imagine the Queen of England and how she behaves and conducts herself. It's in a very godly manner, okay? That's how we're to behave. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us from God. Okay, you do not have to buy them. They cannot be bought. They are given to us freely. And the Spirit of God lives inside of us to illuminate what we've received freely. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay, it's no good. You're just going around saying, yay, I've got the mind of Christ, I've got the mind of Christ. That's no good. You've got to actually find out what is the mind of Christ and speak it. Learn about it. Learn about the mind of Jesus. Because we're like sponges. If I come up to you and I poke you, whatever you've been feeding on is going to come out, all right? So feed on the mind of Christ. And it's not found in the Old Testament. That was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I don't want to see you repaying evil for evil. We are done away from the Old Testament. The mind of Christ is in the New Testament. Check out Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have a look at him. Check out Jesus in the epistles and the letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. You'll find out the mind of Christ. And as you read it, as you absorb it, as you meditate on it, as you get your mind renewed with the mind of Christ, yes, then we can go around saying, thank you, God, I have the mind of Christ. He is a very particular God. We do not take scriptures just at surface value. We must dig in deep and find out exactly what they're saying and do our research, do our homework, do our hard yards, and then apply it to our lives. Amen. Just like the fruit of the Spirit, those scriptures. Have you just spent the next year going over the fruit of the Spirit and letting it get absorbed into you? People will tap you and out will come beautiful love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Hey, that's Jesus. That's the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. I love it. We are not without a workbook or a manual to see how this works. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 5a. This is in the Amplified. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and of one purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. A couple of spell checks in there, eh? Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was royalty, but there was nothing arrogant and proud about him. So I always say this, you know, hit the deck every morning. Get humble before the Father every day. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Remain humble. We can walk around tall and straight with our heads held high. We are not worms. Okay, we're not grasshoppers. We're children of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We are royalty. And we can act with dignity. Amen. We can act with confidence in Christ's likeness. And if we blow it, we don't have to go around with our head in the sand for 6 months until we've done like 50 million Hail Marys. No disrespect. Like I said before, this is what I do. I'm sorry, Lord. He goes, right, kid, move on. I forgive you. Go your way and sin no more. And even if I sin 5 minutes later, it's me back again. Hello, it's me again, Dad. I'm sorry. He goes, good, kid, on your way. Go and sin no more. All right. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Instantaneous access to the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus. Instantaneous. And the worst thing you can do is beat yourself up. There's no need to be a martyr about it. I'll go and beat myself up over the head. I'll put myself in the dog box. What are you going to gain by that? Nothing. You're just going to feel bad. You're not going to look like Jesus, are you? So no, remember, repentance, instantaneous in God's kingdom. I love it. I use it all the time. And like I said, sometimes hubby gets so annoyed with me. You know, like, yay, I'm forgiven. Yeah, you forgive me now, let's move on. Sometimes in life, our feelings take a little while to catch up. A little while to catch up, all right? A little while to catch up. But anyway, as long as what you do is you repent before the Lord and you say, I'm sorry, Lord, you get back in right standing with him. You get under that umbrella of love and grace and mercy. He says, come to my throne to receive grace and mercy in a time of need. Yay, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Hi, it's me again. I need grace and mercy in a time of need. Now, I know I was here 5 minutes ago, but I'm back. All right? Doesn't matter. We can just use that scripture all the time. Yay! It will never wear out. Amen? Never wear out. Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. I love it. That's the love of the Father. That's the love of the Father right then and there. Beautiful. Okay, there we are. You are humbling yourself to God, but walking in heavenly dignity. Let Jesus be your example of humility. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, that's us, all of us, we're to think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble. Noble means fine quality and proper. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Just is morally right or fair. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things have a good report. If there's any virtue, virtue means moral good. If there's anything praiseworthy, we are to meditate on these things. Amen? And then the God of peace will be with us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, stature, that's another word. To the measure of the degree of eminence, social standing, distinction, and recognized superiority of the fullness of Christ. Christ is superior. He is a name above every name. But that's nothing to do with pride. Remember Satan? He thought, I'm going to be like God. All right, he entered into pride, and guess what happened? He got kicked out of heaven. Amen? There's no brownie points for arrogance and showing off in the kingdom of God. Amen? Don't do it. Don't do it. No. I've done that on occasion. This is 20 years ago now. And no, I've done that, and it's no good. No good. You'll be humbled. Daddy's got the big rod of correction. Amen? So humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. But we can, like I said, walk in that royalty. We can walk. And it's like walking proud. Yeah, it's okay. Because Daddy God's proud with us. He's proud with his children. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with being proud with our standing. But we're not like they, you know, a teenager at school, you know, and they say, you're up yourself, you know. We don't be arrogant about it. We are to be humble. Okay, it's a godly type of pride, all right? Be single-minded about the word of God and have the mind of Christ. Could Jesus fail? No, never. I love it. I love it. If we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, the end of that scripture says, against such there is no law. If you walk in love, that is so powerful. They stoned Jesus, they hated him, they rejected him, but he continued to walk in love. It bounced right off him. It bounced right off him. Walk in love with your tongue. See this tongue? The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. We need the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, set a guard over my mouth, keep watch at the door of my lips, that nothing evil will befall it. Okay, because no man can tame the tongue. Ugh. Sometimes, oh, it's out. I didn't even edit it, and it's out. Oh, dear. All right? Ask the Holy Spirit. He's our helper every day. Help me, Jesus. Amen. That's what he's there for. Yeah, don't leave home without him. Well, you won't, because he lives inside of you. Don't leave home without the awareness of connecting with him in the morning. Amen? I mean, I don't know why anyone would. Like I said, if I haven't connected with Jesus, I don't even want to be with myself. Letting other people be with me. Amen? Yeah, no. Get into his presence, amen? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And trust me, there's a world out there, and they need a whole lot of joy, amen? Yeah, let's be sponge, not SpongeBob's, let's be sponge joys. Think as Jesus would have thought, and react as Jesus would have reacted. You know, there was bracelets when I was running youth groups. Yeah, what would Jesus do? Like, great, you got your bracelets, yeah. You know, and if you think, I don't know what Jesus would do, well, that tells me that you haven't been reading a word, all right? Read the word of God and find out how Jesus reacted in situations. Find out what he did, you know, when they were spitting on him. He didn't spit back. He could have. He could have called down a legion of angels. He could have called the whole show off, but the whole show had to go on, all right? Read the word of God over and over again, and you'll find out exactly what Jesus did in these situations. And then do the opposite to what your flesh wants to do. I'm not saying you're not going to not feel like doing it. Yeah, there's times when someone is hurtful to you and your flesh starts to boil and you want to hurt back. And you know, you might want to, but just smile and think, take a pause break. It's okay if you pause in life. What would you do, Jesus? Holy Spirit will tell you or show you a picture. Okay, and you imitate that. And even if you're doing it through gritted teeth with a false smile. Okay? All right? Because we walk by faith, not by sight and not by our feelings. Okay, it's okay. That's how we grow. We do it by faith. Just like many times. How many times, you know, the baby's waking up again. Oh, my dear, you've got to go and feed the baby and change the nappy again? Can't I have a night off? No. Over and over again, same repetitive routine, and that's what it's like in the kingdom. Can I have a day off from being a Christian, Jesus? Can I just get up and just do what I feel like doing all day? He said, you know what he says? You go ahead, you have a will. But you're not going to feel good about it at the end of the day, amen? You're not going to hit that pillow with peace. You're going to be hitting the deck and saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. All right? We have a freedom of choice. We have a will, remember? But whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. Amen. And it doesn't just mean eternity. It means you're going to reap the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have a choice. Our arm is not up our back. Okay, every day it's a choice. Okay, John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. This is Jesus. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. It's very, very personal. Think of your best friend. Okay, it's as close as having a relationship with your best friend, all right? Beautiful. I love it. Your best friend that stays you through thick and thin. I hope you have one on planet Earth because they're good. I had Pastor Liz come down for the weekend. I loved it. She came down. Oh, we had a great time. We went to the mud pools. We did massage. We did coffee shops. We did all the girly stuff. I loved it. I loved having my best friend with me. And then she goes home. I don't like that because then we cry. And it takes a day to get over it. I go home, and you can imagine if you've been around Pastor Liz, the house seems empty. Yeah, but we all need a best friend at times, okay? So that can be Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so look in the mirror. Speak it. Speak what you see. Amen? I'm loved and accepted in the beloved. I'm loved and accepted in the beloved. I'm loved and accepted in the beloved. If you confess that, you will begin to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God over and over. I'm loved and accepted in the beloved. And then it doesn't matter how many times people reject you, because they will hate you for the sake of the light and the gospel. Remember, it's a secret. Hello, hello. Jesus said, it's me. They hate me. Okay, you're going to take it because of him. But don't take it personal. So you need that shield of faith up of love. I'm loved and accepted in the beloved. All right? And then when you get rejected, you're not going to take it personal. You're going to say, yeah, I'm getting rejected because of Jesus. And he got rejected for my sake, so I can handle it. All right? But if you don't have that revelation up there, if you don't have that shield of faith or the spoken word of God up there, you are going to take that arsenal. It's going to get into you, and it's going to take a little, like a 10-pin bowling. It's going to knock you over. And it's going to take a while for you to get back up on your feet. Amen? Loved and accepted in the beloved. Remember, the greatest of these is love. That's the first and foremost. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's first in line. First in line, because it's most important, all right? Most important to know that you're loved and accepted in the beloved. And then you are transformed as you look into that word from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 4:1-11. Read it in your own time. But verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So I know it's not me. Okay, I'm an earthen vessel. You know, I actually came from the clay. I came, Danny, we used it on Sunday morning after us going to the mud pools, and Pastor Liz and I we had mud all over our body. I said, no selfies. This ain't going on Facebook. Okay, our body came from the dust. Amazing. That the power of Christ may be seen and evidenced in us and through us. I love it. Therefore, I can't boast. It's not me. It's not me. It's him. It's his glory. Amen. We give all glory to Jesus for what he's done, what he's doing, and how he uses us on the planet. Amen. Whatever gifts or callings you've got in your life, all glory goes to God. The divine light of the gospel, the life of Jesus, should be evidenced through us. It's only going to be evidenced through us as we look into Jesus. Amen. If you look into Jesus, you've got a love relationship with Jesus. You're looking into the word, you're looking into the mirror, that's how you're going to look, amen? But the Bible says clearly in James, don't go looking in the mirror and then walk away and forget who you are. You need to meditate on the word day and night. I look like Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm going to speak like Jesus. I'm going to love even when I don't feel like loving. Even when someone has been persecuting and hating me, it's amazing. Bless those that persecute you. Ah, that's hard, isn't it? Pray for those that spitefully use you. Normally we just want to cross them off the Christmas list. Here's a challenge. Someone that used to love, up until Christmas, used to love them. Not this Christmas, any Christmas now. And you think that you know that you have lopped them off your Christmas list, so to speak. Here's a challenge. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Let God show you someone that you're going to love by faith this Christmas and love on them. Give them a present. Give them an encouraging text. Send them flowers. Do something. Do something. Because you know what? Love is powerful. Many waters cannot quench love. Amen? And love never fails. By this all men will know that we are his disciples if we have love one for another. Not if you have a BMW car. Not if you're flowing in all the gifts of the Spirit. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. This is Jesus. If you have love one for another. That is the perfect example on planet Earth is love. Amen? Because love is eternal. All the other things are going to pass away. And trust me, you cannot take your flash cars and your bucket full of cash and your bank account to heaven. Amen? You're going there and you're fronting up before the Father, just you. You know, and like it's not you and it's not me and Danny. I can't stand there and go, oh, it was him. There's none of that. It's just me. It's me and Jesus. And I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful child. Amen? We all want to have that recommendation. And that's not, it's not perfection. Nobody's perfect. Only Jesus. But it's well done because we lean on him morning, noon, and night. Okay? We lean on Jesus. Amen? And we breathe Jesus. We sound like him. It's a progression. It's inch by inch. Amen? I've been at it, I don't know, 29 years now. On the scale of 1 to 10, I don't know where I am, but who cares? I keep going. Amen? It's a progressive, revelational truth that we're outworking in our lives. Amen. We've been redeemed. There is a legal side of redemption and a vital or living side of redemption. Our redemption, we are redeemed, is from the dominion of Satan. I love it. He's not my boss anymore. He used to be. Me and him were in cahoots together. Amen. But not anymore. I'm redeemed from him as my boss and my Lord and my Master and my Savior. He's nothing. Okay, he's just the enemy, and the Lord's already defeated him. The basic need of mankind was to be righteous and have the ability to stand before the Father without guilt or inferiority, and that's us. The Bible says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I love it. I believe it. It's a truth. It doesn't matter how many times I fall over. You know, you're like your kid. You know, your child's learning to walk or whatever, and they fall over. You don't say, you're not my kid anymore. Get out. I'm going to make another one. You don't do that. You gently pick them up, woo them. It's okay, honey. It's okay. Come again. Yay. Well, that's daddy to us. He goes, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Just, yeah, say you're sorry. Good. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yay. Keep coming. Keep coming. That's daddy to us. All right. He was the original daddy. And just how much you love your little children and there's grace for them growing and making mistakes, you know. Some days with my teenagers, you've heard the story. I could have shot them with a gun. Goodbye. All right, I never did. I just thought it. We will talk to you, Lady Doug. I said there's no questions in my class. Did you put your hand up, brother? Where's your grandmother's phone number, brother? All right. Anyway, look. I'm sorry, he's Scottish and I know how the Scottish roll. They always take the mick out of people and wind them up. But I'm not there now, brother. I'm here in New Zealand. We're nice. You're funny, eh? Okay, look, I don't even know where I am now, brother. I'm in Rotorua. Okay, Colossians 1:13. Thank you. I think you've just scripted down about three paragraphs to move me on, haven't you? Amen, that's right. Okay, without guilt or inferiority, I think we've done that. Colossians 1:13-14, he's delivered us from the powers of darkness, thank God for that, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I love it. We do have that forgiveness instantaneously, all right, instantaneously. Jesus dealt with the sin problem, and the born-again believer has a legal right to eternal life. The legal part of redemption is always past tense because it was redemptive work at Calvary. It's already done. Okay, it's already done. It's already been done. We just need to tap into it. Amen? All the way through the epistles or the letters, it says he has delivered us. We're accepted and we have the inheritance. Until a born-again believer gets the reality of the legal side, it's already been done. They're going to struggle to live out the vital side, who he is in Christ. I mean, so it's already been done. You're all beautiful, lovely, gorgeous, wonderful children of God. I love it. I love it. That's the truth. We're born again. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. We're made in his image. As he is, so are we in this earth. Okay, that is the legal side. The vital side is us living it out day by day, getting changed from glory to glory, getting calibrated so that we walk in the fruit of the Spirit and we exchange our weakness, our bad stinking temper, our foul mouth of swearing. We exchange that for his beautiful personality. Amen. And it can be done. It can be done. It's beautiful. I love it. It can be done, and it's just day by day. The legal side is what has been done. When we know our inheritance vital, we will live it. Read the Word of God, very important. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's legal, the Father of glory may give unto us vital, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I pray that of myself every single day. I thank you for that wisdom and that revelation and the knowledge of you and the knowledge of your love. Give me wisdom, Father, and revelation that I may understand you, that I may know the length and the width and the breadth and the height of your love. It's powerful. It's never ending. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And oftentimes, personally, my weakness, because I've got like a detective personality, I think I might have been able to be a lawyer, all right? But then the law is so crooked in there that, no, I couldn't go and be a lawyer. I might be calling the judge out or something. But because of that detective side of me, often I have to get pulled up for judging people, all right? That's like a weakness of mine, judging people. And the Lord comes and says, hey, excuse me, I'm the judge. Okay, you're the judge. Back off. All right, grace, grace, grace. I say, okay, show me through your eyes, Lord Jesus. Help me, show me through your eyes, Lord Jesus. All the time, because he looks through a different lens. He looks through a lens of love. Amen? It's beyond me. Beyond me, but we can get revelation. We can get insight. We just have to ask. This scripture shows us both the legal and the vital aspects of redemption. Now, when we understand the vital aspects of our redemption, that's by studying it, reading it, confessing it, we will grow up in Christ to spiritual maturity. Remember, we've been through that. Babyhood, child stages, yay, throw your toys out the cot. Treat others like, you know, they would treat you. We want spiritual maturity and possess all that God has given us and have it working in our daily lives. And like I said, it's just one day at a time, sweet Jesus, one little chunk at a time, just one thing. We grow one little step at a time, amen, and we get that victory and we grow some more. And all along the way, Daddy goes, yay, well done, kid, well done. I love it. And there's rewards along the way. Obedience brings blessings. Brings blessings, and it brings favor, and it brings love, and it brings security. I don't know about you, but I definitely want to be comforted, loved, and secured every day of my life. That's me. That's why every day I, as much as I can, I say, Lord, I'm sorry if I've sinned. I say, I'm sorry, because I just want that whole, it's like living in a bubble. I teach people, it's like being in that big zorb. I've never been in it in Rotorua. I don't have to go in it. I live in it. It's like being in a zorb of his love, amen? And things can come against you and bash, bang back off. It's your greatest shield, love. It's your greatest shield, amen? Beautiful. So we can have that, and we can have it working in our daily lives. Now, that's me finished. Dan's going to come up and summarize, because we're summarizing the whole 8 weeks. All right, but thank you for having us. It's been a wonderful time. Oh, wait, photo. Hang on, photo. Okay, so thank you. Bless you. We've enjoyed coming over here. It's like family to family. We love it. Thank you for making us at home.
Hallelujah. Awesome, Trace. We are one. Not great fools. What are you saying, bro? Okay, wasn't that good? Isn't God good? All the time. All the time. Somebody, when we are born again, we become possessors of the life of God. So you're born again. The minute you get born again, you are the possessor of the life of God. The Greek word for life in that context is zoe. It's the eternal life. It's the God kind of life. It means a quality of life as God has it. It's a quality of life. It's a different quality from the world. Through salvation, we have an inheritance in Christ. And again, inheritance is because of what he did, not because of what you did. It's what he did. You received an inheritance, but you have to receive the inheritance. Come on. If somebody leaves you an inheritance, you have got to go and claim your inheritance, right? Even legally. You've got to go and claim it. So even though Jesus has laid up for us all these promises, this divine nature, the whole thing, whatever, and all the promises of God, we have to claim it by faith and walk in it by faith. We have to do it. There's other people that I've seen over the years love the Lord just as much as I do. Life's a mess. Why? Because they're not walking in their inheritance and their dominion and their authority in the wisdom of God and the love of God, feeling rejected out of it, the whole deal. They're not declaring what belongs to them. Feeling guilty, condemnation. That's not God. So through salvation, we've got to claim it. Our salvation inheritance in Christ Jesus, and he gave us the abundant life, which means a quality of life over and above that which we have known. And there are two sides of redemption, which Tracy has talked about, legal and vital. When we walk in the vital side, we will become mature and spiritually aware when we walk in the vital side. Legally, it's been done for every single person on the planet that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Legally, it was done 2,000 years ago. Vitally, it's up to you to press in with your faith to grab a hold of that vital side of who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So again, guys, thanks for being patient with us. Sometimes I know that we can go on a little bit, but it's just so much in this. It's good stuff. You just got to, you know, it's classroom stuff. So again, Pastor Scott, there you go. Love it.